And joining us today on Perspectives are Chris and Grace Bojillion. Chris is the author of 18 books, including Close Your Eyes, Hold Hands, The Sandcastle Girls, Skeletons at the Feast, The Double Bind, and Midwives. His novel Midwives was a number one New York Times bestseller in a selection of Oprah's book club. His work has been translated into more than 30 languages, and three of his novels have become movies, Secret of Eden, Midwives, and Past the Bleachers. He lives in Vermont with his wife and daughter, and his daughter is also joining us, and that's Grace. Grace is a recent graduate of NYU Tisch and a new member of SAG and AFTRA. Favorite roles include Roxy in Chicago, Cinderella and Cinderella, and Mary Tiffert in The Children's Hour. Current projects include the original workshop of Pete the Cat for the Omaha Rose Theater and Margot in Dial M for Murder at the Millbrook Playhouse. And, of course, her and her dad are joining us right now, and she is the narrator of Chris's latest book, and that's Close Your Eyes, Hold Hands. Grace and Chris, thank you very much for joining us today.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Now, it's great to have a father daughter connection like that. My youngest daughter, our connection is through books as well, and I remember one of our dates was I would take her to the library every Saturday, and we would have fun. And most of the time, by the time we got home, she had already read most of the books that we needed to return. But thank you again for joining us, and let's talk a little bit first about both of you and your careers. Chris, have you always aspired to be a writer? Like when you were a young boy, I see here that Grace has had a lot of experience in acting and doing a lot of entertainment. What about you as a young child?
When I was in second and third grade, I was writing these hideous 2- and 3-page short stories about disembodied hands that emerge from a wishing well and sibling rivalry on the school safety patrol. When my father died in 2011, I actually found that he and my mother had saved some of these travesties, the apprentice fiction of Chris Bojillion, if you will, for a lot of years, and I simply continued to write through middle school, high school, and college. Being a novelist is a great, great blessing, and I'm not quite sure why I'm so privileged to get to do it, but it is how I spend my life.
Well, Chris, with those short stories that you described there and as a second grader, what were perhaps some of the – because back then I don't think they had like I can't think of some of the scary books that are out right now. But back then, I guess what you had were perhaps Vincent Price, Edgar Allan Poe, and there weren't many – children books, I don't think, as far as I remember, that were scary. But what drove you to write those kinds of tales?
You mentioned Edgar Allan Poe. I actually still have a copy of Edgar Allan Poe that I was underlining at 8 years old. And, of course, there was Chiller Theater and Creature Features. And when I think of the starting music from Chiller Theater and Creature Features, I'm terrified even now. And then you mentioned the library. My family moved from a suburb of New York City to a suburb of Miami, Florida, just before I started eighth grade. And this was before Stephen King had started publishing his marvelous Grand Guignol. And I can remember cutting my teeth on books by Peter Benchley, Jaws, Thomas Tryon's Harvest Home, and William Peter Blatty's The Exorcist. And so while I don't write ghost stories, real. I mean, I've written one, but it's not something I focus on a lot. The reality is that I was discovering fiction and story from scary stories as a kid and a teenager.
I'm not sure, if you and I are the same age or not, but I remember when I was in college, undergraduate school, my roommate and I stumbled across the CBS Mystery Theater, and we decided that we were going to listen to those all the time, and also Night Gallery and Nightfall from the CBC. And so what you and Grace are doing now as far as audiobooks, in a way, one of the authors, I think it was Connolly or Mary Higgins Clark, said that it's kind of a version of old-time radio coming to life.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Certainly, there's that parallel. And I think there's even the more, I don't want to say Mesozoic, but the more almost primeval parallel of tell me a story. We all love to be told stories, whether it's parents telling children stories, whether it's around the campfire, whether it's 7,000 years ago around the bonfire. And an audiobook, to a certain level, replicates that beautiful moment. I think that's why I love listening to audiobooks. Someone is telling me a story.
And talking about audiobooks, joining us also is Chris's daughter, Grace. And Grace, you narrate your father's latest book. And we talked about your dad's growing up and his reading and his stories. Tell us about your secrets, and perhaps your dad found some stories of yours that he hasn't brought out yet.
Ooh. Well, I had certainly dad read to me all the time when I was little. And I remember one time he was actually reading to me the Harry Potter series, and he had been doing the voice of Hagrid, or he was at least attempting to do a Scottish brogue on an airplane. Dad, do you remember where we were going?
We're going to Florida.
We were going to Florida, yes. So he was He was doing a Scottish brogue for Hagrid, and an actual man from Scotland turned around and asked him what he thought that accent was and what he thought he was doing. So certainly it's Dad might not admit it, but he's an actor too, and I've learned a lot from reading his books and listening to him read me books.
So, Grace, as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you are have been an actress in various plays and various shows. And in addition to that, of course, is you narrate your dad's audiobook. What got you interested in acting and reading and storytelling? You mentioned your father there in the Harry Potter story, but what other things inspired you?
I can't even remember when I started acting. It was so long ago. I guess I was 6 or 7 when you're doing all the camps. But I pretty quickly decided that acting was what I wanted to do, and that I wanted to get to New York, and I just graduated NYU.
And this story that your father just wrote, it's called Close Your Eyes, Hold Your Hand. Chris, tell us a little bit about this story. It's a very interesting story, and somebody asked me, who's the target audience here? And I think it's just about everybody. It's not just young adults. It's adults. And it touches on, very different issues that we have currently, like homelessness, and not just homeless people, but children, mental illnesses, and also something that I think may catch people by surprise, and that's nuclear energy. So tell us about this story, Chris.
Sure. Close Your Eyes, Hold Hands is the story of Emily Shepherd, a 17-year-old cutter, an OxyContin addict, and a girl with a serious crush on Emily Dickinson, the poet. Emily Shepherd is an aspiring poet herself. She's trying desperately to keep it together in northern New England after a cataclysmic Fukushima-scale meltdown of Vermont's lone nuclear plant. And I like the idea, as you said, that it is a book for everyone. Though it has a 17-year-old narrator, I wasn't necessarily writing this book for teenagers. There's a lot of great young adult fiction out there, and I think it's great when adults read young adult fiction, just as I think it's wonderful when young adults read adult fiction. But I love what Jim Higgins in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel said about who this book is for. When he reviewed it, he wrote, "Heartbreaking, scrupulously realistic, a novel for adults, but readers of any age who love John Green's novels will find Emily's story, sobering as it is, an awesome one." And so I hope that this book does transcend generation and become the sort of book that young adults and adults alike read.
We're visiting with Chris Bajalian and also his daughter, and we're talking about the book Close Your Eyes, Hold Hands. And it's an audiobook. It's available, of course, in Kindle also, and it's available in traditional book form and ebooks and just about any kind of book you want. And it's Chris Bajalian is the author, and his daughter, Grace, is the one who narrates this. And Grace, As far as narrating this, is this your first ever audiobook?
This was my first audio, and it was very intimidating since I knew it was my dad's book, and I had read early drafts of it, so I really wanted to do a good job. And I've been lucky enough to do a couple since then. But this one was definitely the scariest for me personally, just because I really wanted to do a good job, not just to impress the author, but to impress my dad.
How would you describe this compared to the roles on stage, as far as preparing for it and doing it?
Yeah, I was shocked at how personal and private it felt to read an audio, and it seemed much more akin to doing film and television than theater work. I was really shocked at how draining it was and how sort of emotional it was just being in the booth for 9 hours being this one person.
Well, you did an excellent job, and I want to talk about the prologue, especially when the book opens and you're talking about your house, which is not a house, but an igloo that you built. And I'm not going to give it away as far as what the igloo is made of. People say, well, you know, ice, just like we see in the books and the Eskimo and the cartoons. Mm-hmm. We're not exactly like that. So if you wouldn't mind, Grace, describing for us, I guess, what Emily went through and also the effort that it took to build this house and what it's really made of.
Okay, I'm allowed to give it away. Yes.
Oh, of course. Oh, absolutely.
Well, yeah. Well, you can talk about.
Yes.
You know,
so poor Emily loses her house after a nuclear disaster meltdown and ends up by the waterfront in an igloo made of trash bags. With another much younger homeless boy, Cameron, who she ends up taking care of. And Dad, as I recall, you saw some real igloos made of trash bags by the Burlington waterfront, and that's where you got the idea, yes?
Precisely. So homeless teens had fallen completely through the safety net and created this strange architectural marvel. They'd packed black plastic trash bags filled with wet, frozen leaves. They would then pack these trash bags like blocks of ice together, and in the night, when the temperature would go to 10, 20 degrees, they would freeze together, and that was what they were living in. And as a father, it broke my heart. And I knew that my narrator was going to be one of those kids. And I'm glad that she found Emily Dickinson, because Emily Dickinson infuses Emily Shepherd's voice. Emily Dickinson taught us, tell all the truth, but tell it slant. And certainly that is how Emily Shepherd shares her saga. And the fact that it is a spoken memoir in terms of an audiobook worked really well for me when I heard Grace reading it and sharing Emily's story.
When you and feel free to jump at any time, in any time, Grace, both of you, as far as when you said you wanted one of those children to narrate this, and I can imagine what you felt like, because I'm a father myself of two girls and one boy, and the fact that you see this, and then all of a sudden your own daughter is narrating this, and of course, you know, thank God she's not homeless, she's not living the way Emily is, but she brought that to life, and I would imagine that would have mixed feelings for you, not only hearing the story, but also your own daughter is narrating this.
I steered clear of the recording studio in Los Angeles when Grace was bringing the book to life. I did not want to hear my beautiful daughter reading what Emily Shepherd has endured, the cutting, the sexual exploitation, the way her father and mother are demonized. But I have subsequently listened to Grace's evocation of it, and it is really a nuanced, poignant, powerful, beautiful performance that finds things in the character of Emily Shepherd that I had not necessarily put on the page, which is what great acting does. A great actor takes a script and elevates it in the same way that Grace elevated Emily Shepherd in this audiobook.
We are visiting with Grace and Chris Bujalian, and they're talking about their book, Hold Hands, Close Your Eyes, Hold Hands. And we're discussing this also because audiobooks have just taken an incredible hold of the literary market, and people find that they can download these to listen in their car, to listen at home while they're walking the dog, whatever. You can listen to this and be there. And you can also read the book at the same time or follow along. And Grace, as far as, you know, as you your dad mentioned here about the actress and jumping right into it, why don't you take our listeners into the recording booth? And right now, I'm not sure if you have headphones on or not, but I'm in a studio. I have headphones and I'm talking to you, but I'm trying to be as conversational and as natural as possible. So take us through that step. What does the director tell you, producer? And when you started reading, did you already know what kind of voice Emily was going to have?
Well, I had read the book a couple times in a couple drafts, and I had talked to Dad a great deal about the character, and I had talked to Kelly Gilday, who is a fabulous director, a bit about the character. But I discovered when I was in the booth, it felt very solitary and, as I think I said, very private. You really just sit down with the music stand and the book in front of you and read, you know, sometimes for 10 or 15 minutes straight, especially when you get into a groove without stopping. We usually went two chapters at a time. And then occasionally it would be really funny. Kelly would come in on the headphones and I would have forgotten that she was there and that there was someone else listening because I felt so involved and so engrossed in what I was reading, it stops being work for a point. And then of course, I'll go back in and I'll mispronounce something and, you know, I'll be out of it again. But it's very focused, solitary work.
We're visiting with Chris and Grace Bojalian. And Chris is the author of the recent book, Close Your Eyes, Hold Hands. And his daughter, Grace, is the narrator for the audiobook. As I mentioned earlier, audiobooks have really taken hold of the market. In fact, statistics show that it's a $1.2 billion industry and growing each day. And this is what I found interesting, too, is surveys show that audiobook listeners are avid readers. People who listen to four or more audiobooks read about 15 books in the past year compared to six books read by people who don't listen to audiobooks. Chris, as far as audiobooks also bring the family together, it's almost like, you know, sitting down and hearing grandpa or mom read us a story. But it's very different because it's dramatized. It's not just reading, and it has those sound effects, music in some instances. So what would you say as an author when you hear your book in audio form? What does that do for you, Chris?
I love audiobooks. I always am listening to an audiobook in a car. And I think what's so interesting is the way the digital age has made audiobooks so easy and so accessible. When I listen to my books on audio, I'm always struck by the caliber of the performance because, as you said, audiobooks have come a really, really long way. And my readers have included, in addition to Grace Experience, Tony Award nominees such as Alison Frazier, Tony Award winners such as Judith Ivey, TV stars such as David Burney. I just love listening to these actors bringing my work to life in the same way that I love listening to any good actor on screen, on stage, or on audio. It's a very, very powerful thing to hear a book that way.
Grace, what about you and as a daughter, family member? I'm not sure if you have siblings, but tell us about audiobooks and the role that they've played in your life.
I listen to them all the time. I live in Manhattan by myself, so I'm listening to them at home. I listen to them on my commutes. The MTA just seems to be getting worse and worse by the day, so I'm spending more and more time on the train listening to audiobooks. I think they're fabulous, and they are. They're performances, and I think I always appreciated them, but especially after doing them and understanding the focus it takes and the voice and speech work it takes, I'm just even more impressed when I listen to something like Harry Potter and I hear Jim Dale doing, I don't know, like 200 different voices for whatever, 200 different characters. I love them.
Yeah, when I was writing Close Your Eyes, Hold Hands, I don't think more than 2 days would go by when I wouldn't be texting Grace in New York City, okay, I need three or four hipster-speak synonyms for hookup. I need three or four hipster-speak synonyms for wasted. And instantly Grace would text me back exactly the right words. I don't know whether I should be so proud as a father or so terrified.
That is very interesting. I'm glad you brought that up because, the lingo or the language that today's generation uses is quite different from what we were brought up in. And I grew up in the 70s. And, but it's still interesting as far as like the fact that you were able to connect with your daughter. It's a collaborative, not only that way, but also the fact that she got to narrate it. So when you were doing this research and writing about a teenager, what other things perhaps that you struggle with or want to bring up out in the, I know that one of the things you deal with is the parents' drinking problem, and that's because of the pressures that they face. And that's something that, the daughter experiences as well and sees other things, but no matter what, they're still her parents.
When I was writing this book, I was juggling essentially two kinds of voices. I was juggling, on the one hand, the voice of Emily Shepard, teen girl, and Emily Dickinson, the poet. And so I was trying to tell the story the way I thought an aspiring Emily Dickinson-type poet would share the story in 2015. Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. And nowhere was that more difficult than in the title. Close your eyes, hold hands. So this isn't going to spoil it for any of our listeners, but the date matters and the title matters. I started writing this book in December 2012, and at one point Emily Shepard ventures illegally back into the exclusion home around the nuclear plant, around her high school, around her home, because the draw of home is inexorable, and the first place she goes is her high school, where she was evacuated when the plant began to melt down. And on her English classroom chalkboard, she writes, "Close your eyes, hold hands, wondering if anyone will ever see it, because the exclusion zone is every bit as uninhabitable as the exclusion zone in Japan today around Fukushima or the exclusion zone in the Ukraine around Chernobyl." And she assumes if anyone ever sees this, they'll think it's some lovely Hallmark greeting card. A couple holding hands as they walk along the beach at sunset, perhaps. Close your eyes, hold hands. But of course, she then reveals what a lot of readers pick up on quickly. This isn't an Emily Dickinson couplet. This was spoken by an English teacher in Newtown, Connecticut in December 2012 when she walked her first graders past the slaughtered kindergartners at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. Close your eyes, hold hands, which is a window that moment into Emily Shepard's soul. And when I heard Grace experience reading that out loud in the audiobook, I was more devastated than when I wrote it.
Wow, and just the way you described it now, as far as, the teacher telling that to the children, it means so much more, and it just, those words just come to life when you say it, and especially the way you, our listeners can picture the teacher telling that to the children and, what kind of reaction that the children have. Were they scared? Were they terrified that they, go home and tell their parents? It's just a whole bunch of things can happen there. And, of course, you wrote a novel about it, and one of the things that's also I think is interesting and draws everyone into it is because of social media. We have stuff now, like we have Facebook, we have LinkedIn, we have Twitter, and people will go and say, check this on Facebook. And they used to ask before, do you have a cell phone or do you have an email? Now they ask, do you have a Facebook page? And this, the way that you tied it into the story is, again, opening up to everybody. And Grace, I'm not sure about your friends, if they've had an opportunity to read this book or to hear you narrating it, but all this social media lingo that's in there, everyone can relate to, because I'm sure when you're on the train, with your iPhone or iPod listening to the books, everybody else has some kind of device.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, what about, you mentioned that you narrated other books, Grace. Can you tell us about some of your other experiences or the books that you've narrated?
So I wrapped up Island Happily Ever After by Stephanie Perkins, which is a teen romance, which was absolutely a dream to work on. That one I had a French accent, so there were some challenges there. And then I've also been doing some short stories here and there, and also some cast recordings, too, for musical theater stuff. So,
I loved your work in Get in Trouble, the audiobook Get in Trouble. I thought that was spectacular.
And, Chris, one of your lines, I guess it's towards the end of the book, when Emily says something like, let me see if I can find it here. Sometimes I think I was at my best when the world seemed to be at its worst. That says a lot.
And the world is often at its worst around Emily Shepherd when she's watching her father, now dead, thrown under the bus by the nuclear power industry, when she's watching her mother's reputation decried, when she is watching the Iraqi war vet who she thought might be her savior instead is sexually exploiting her and prostituting her out for drugs. But Emily Shepherd, and I am so proud of her, is a survivor, huge heart, resilient, resourceful. And I think that's why I was so moved by Grace's reading of Emily Shepherd.
Chris, we'd like to thank you and Grace very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Chris and Grace Bojalian, and they were discussing the book, Chris's latest book, Close Your Eyes, Hold Hands. Before we leave now, Chris and Grace, is there a website that perhaps you would like our listeners to go to?
Sure, Grace. Do you want to go first?
Sure. You can find me at graceexperience.com.
And you can find me at chrisbojalian.com, and it's B-O-H-J-A-L. And you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Goodreads, Pinterest, Instagram. I am, if nothing, if not a social animal.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed visiting with both of you. You all have a great day, and thank you.
Thanks so much for having us on.